Defenestrate Media and The Left Show present Batshit Crazy with Jason Williams. A weekly look at the most outrageous, wacky, backwards, twisted, and goofy political news of the week you thought you'd left behind. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your pseudo-celebrity commentator, Jason Williams.
I've been picking on Herman Cain quite a bit this week, and I'm going to do it again. It's partly because the guy's an embarrassment and partly because he's an easy target. In this situation, though, I'm going to talk a little bit about him as an example of something that irritates me even more than Herman Cain. This is an idea that's been written about many, many times over by one of my favorite professors of journalism and media critic, Jay Rosen. Jay Rosen teaches at the New York University and School of Journalism and has written many times about something he calls he said, she said journalism. And I'm just going to leave it at that for a second while I supply the example here, because this is something that I actually saw play out on my TV this weekend. And it's a perfect example of he said, she said journalism and why it is bad for America and breeds the bad shit. Herman Cain's economic advisor, Rich Lowry, was on Larry Kudlow's show, using the quote fingers there again, on CNBC, talking about, the things they talk about on CNBC that they like to pretend that they know a lot about. Rich Lowry explaining Herman Cain's 999 plan as if it were a serious economic and fiscal proposal instead of the piece of garbage that it actually is. It was presented by an actual economist there with Rich Lowry. Again, Herman Cain's economic advisor, quotey fingers again. An actual economist there debating Rich Lowry as if this were actually something to debate. I mean, this is, as they pick through this plan, even Bruce Bartlett has called this 999 plan a distributional nightmare. Something that would radically shift the tax burden from high income households to everyone else. And, everyone's talking about Lowry as Cain's, quotey fingers once again, economic advisor, is either a complete moron or is pretending that he just doesn't understand this plan itself, or that he's deliberately misrepresenting it because 999 is so catchy. But basically, so in this debate on Kudlow's quotey fingers one last time show, they talk about how for a $50,000 annual income per year, married couple, two kids, all income from earnings and standard deductions, the current tax burden is about $8,300. Under 999, that same family, household of $50,000, married couple, two kids, all income from earnings and standard deductions, their tax burden under Herman Cain's 999 would grow to $13,500, an increase of about $5,000. The Washington Post fact checker came up with the same numbers. So nothing to argue about there. These guys are having a debate over whether or not that's true. Everyone in the room knows it's true. Herman Cain's plan would add at least that much onto a lot of families every year. And everyone in the room knows it. Yet somehow we're having a debate still. Lowry, of course, just refusing to accept the conclusion, despite the fact that all of the evidence is working against him. And he just keeps saying that the federal tax would be lower for these families because they'd move from 15% payroll tax to a 9% income tax. This, as he said, completely in front of everyone there, is patently false. Assuming that that they consume stuff, this family, as written by one of my favorite actual economists, Jared Bernstein, this family would need to consume things, you know, they wouldn't just exist in a bubble. So they'd also pay 9% sales tax under Herman Cain's plan. They'd already make their tax rate as high as 18%, higher than the 15%. And basically tax economists are saying the 9% tax on business income also hits them. And Ed Kleinbard described the tax as a 27% payroll tax for families whose incomes derive from earnings. Lowry is either okay with that, completely oblivious to that, or completely aware of that and just misrepresenting the plan because 999 is so catchy. And basically, this is somehow becoming a debate on my television. These people, everyone in the room knows Rich Lowry and Herman Cain are full of shit, including Rich Lowry and Herman Cain, who, you know, to be fair, was not in the room, just his, quote, economic advisor was in the room. They know it's bullshit. They absolutely know it. But they're on TV saying that it's not bullshit. And so we're having a debate about whether or not it's bullshit. Yet again, everyone in the room knows it's bullshit. This is what Jay Rosen at New York University School of Journalism is saying. This is he said, she said journalism. This is, and he breaks it down like this in an essay he wrote in 2009, which you can read still at a blog he writes called PressThink, PressThink.org. And he defines he said, she said journalism as this. He says, it breaks out like this. One, there's a public dispute. This can be between two people of differing opinions as analysts on cable TV, for example, or candidates, perhaps running for the nomination of the Republican Party for the office of president, as in Herman Cain. And then the other people on the other side of the room from him who know what they're talking about. So this dispute happens. It's a public dispute. This dispute makes news. It gets headlines. People pay attention to it as they're doing now with Herman Cain's 999 plan. No real attempt is ever made to assess the opposing sides, even though they're, as Rosen writes, in some sense, the reason for the entire story. The conflict is the story, but no one attempts to assess the two versions that are being thrown out there. So you have he saying this, she saying this, and that's what the media is reporting. No attempt to assess it. The means for assessing it is there, as is the case with this debate happening on CNBC. It is possible for someone to use the Google, if nothing else, and basically have the capacity to challenge some of what Rich Lowry is saying. Because again, everyone in the room knows he's full of shit. And yet the debate continues. Finally, Jay Rosen writes, the symmetry of the two sides making opposite claims puts the reporter, in this case the host, Kudlow, at odds with two polarized extremes. And so the reporter sits there as though they are the objective. Hey, I'm just here presenting all of the information to the public and letting them decide because I'm an objective journalist. But that is not it. That is not the only role of the media, of journalists in this country. If there is someone, give you another example. Recently, President Barack Obama hands us a jobs bill. Now, say what you want about the jobs bill, whether it doesn't go far enough, comes too late, too many conservative ideas still in it. You can, all the criticisms you want, lump them out there. But he did it. He threw it out there. He changed the narrative away from this asinine discussion we were having over the debt ceiling and debt, as if our country were actually bankrupt right now, and changed it to where we're talking about something that would ironically help us when it comes to the deficit and debt, as well as make a lot of Americans' lives a lot better. He starts talking about jobs, and he presents this jobs plan. On the flip side of that, you have this experience I had a little while ago on CNN, where Michelle Bachmann is asked about the president's jobs plan. Michelle Bachmann responds and says the president's jobs plan is not the right direction to go. And they say, oh, okay, what direction should we go in? And she says, well, under my presidency, no one would pay any taxes at all, except for the little bit we need to collect to run government, or almost an exact quote there, and $2 a gallon gas. That's her response. And the journalist, quote unquote, at CNN says, oh, thank you. And they move on. No attempt to say, here is the difference between Michelle Bachmann's $2 gas and no taxes for anyone except the tiny bit we need to still run government. No one says, here's that in a nutshell compared to the president's jobs plan on a truth meter. just looking at reality. No one does that. They present both sides as if they're equal, never once bothering to point out that one side is just making things up. They're just saying things, and it's getting equal airtime with things that happen to also be true that other people are also saying. And the equivalence is what is dangerous there. The equivalence between crazy ideas with no grounding in reality whatsoever. Keep your government out of my Medicare signs could pop into mind. And pretty much anything else the Tea Party said, that is craziness. And yet it got as much play in the room as legitimate ideas, like economists saying we have an unemployment problem and perhaps we shouldn't contract the economy by cutting spending right now, because we all know that that is a bad idea when you have high unemployment and a sluggish economy. Cutting spending is a horrible idea. It contracts the government, which is the opposite of what we want to have happen. But then the teabaggers are over here saying, cut, 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 cut. And they're presented by the media as if both ideas have the equal percentage of reality and truth in them. And it just simply isn't the case. Jay Rosen again writes about this at pressthing.org if you want to read more. He calls it the he said, she said style of journalism that we see a lot more of in this country as media moves closer and closer to, Jerry Springer show sometimes it seems like is their goal. And it's not good. It's not educational. It doesn't give people an accurate picture. And it's all done under the umbrella excuse of journalists staying objective. You know what? Screw staying objective. If we've got two people on the stage and one person is saying something that's a lie and the other person is saying something that's true, and you have the capacity to verify which one is a lie and which one is true, you should tell your listeners or your readers or your viewers that. To not do show is completely batshit crazy. I'm Jason Williams. We'll see you next week.